Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
So we're in session two of Standing Against Common Attacks. This session is entitled Overcoming Overwhelm and Anxiety. And here's the gist of what we're doing with this series and a little bit of review is we recognize that there's a lot of spiritual warfare going on right now, and there are always a ton of attacks that the enemy brings against us. And while we don't have time to go through every single one of those attacks, there are some specifics that probably all of us will face again and again as the enemy comes against us. And so this, just a three-part series. Last week, we talked about the issue of offense and overcoming offense. This week, overcoming the concept of anxiety and feeling that the pressure of being overwhelmed. And then next week, we'll talk about overcoming depression and sadness. And the couple of the highlights from last week, which it's just so foundational to us knowing how to fight the spiritual fight, is that the enemy is firing real arrows at us. These is actually firing real attacks at us, would be a better way to say it. And Paul describes those as flaming arrows in Ephesians chapter 6, which we covered in the first session. And if you missed it and you want it, it's online, so you can go check it out. Both the session is on from last week, and then tonight's will be as well, coming up soon. And these arrows are being fired at us, and if we allow that arrow to stay in our flesh, it burns, and it causes significant problems. But if we can learn to deflect those arrows, to stay away from certain places that arrows get fired at us, and when an arrow actually does hit our skin, to pull it out immediately instead of allowing it to continue to cause problems and set us on fire, then we can overcome a whole lot of things in this life. The takeaways are last week, remembering that we don't fight against human beings. There is no such thing as a spiritual warfare fight against a person. We fight against demonic forces. And those demonic forces are causing people to do things, say things, avoid things, and just be ornery. And so it's actually the spiritual fight that we're in and not one against a person, a place, or a thing. And one of the things that I just want to remind us, another one of those little takeaway points from last week, is that when that arrow hits us, it's only a brief moment that the intensity of that demonic heightened spiritual energy or emotional discomfort lasts. It's only a minute. When that enemy, when that arrow hits us, it is super intense for a few hours, maybe even a couple of days, but not weeks, months, years. When that arrow hits us, it's super intense. It hurts so bad, we want to scream, we want to completely lose our mind, we want to go do something foolish because of how much pain and pressure we feel when that arrow hits. But the measure of that intensity does not last forever. It lasts kind of like a bee sting or like a wasp sting. It hurts like crazy in that moment. But even a few hours later, that bee sting doesn't hurt like it did when you first got stung. That's how the arrows of the enemy work too. And the reason that that's an important thing for us to understand is because one of the main lies that the enemy sends us is the pain that we're feeling, whether it's depression, anxiety, anger, resentment, fear, doubt, whatever, worry, whatever the pain is that we're feeling, the lie of the enemy is, it's always going to feel this bad forever. Just give up and die. And it's the plan of the enemy to discourage us and to lie to us that when that thing hits us, and it's in its highest point of intensity, it's the greatest measure of discomfort, the lie of the enemy is it's always going to be that way, and that is totally false. The measure of that intensity, that heightened demonic energy, lasts only a little while. Most of the time, a few hours, or not even that, and then sometimes a few days, but rarely ever does that go on for more than even a couple of days. Rarely. And so it's very important that we know that, because when we feel so blank, fill in the blank, when we feel that, we need to take our thoughts captive and remember it's not going to be like this in a very short period of time. Don't do nothing stupid. Don't do anything crazy as a response to the demonic arrow that just hit you. Be patient, wait on the Lord, and pray. Well, now, just reviewing how to take that arrow out, a lot of times, well, anytime an arrow is thrown at you, it's temptation. It's temptation to be angry. It's temptation to be fearful. It's temptation to be lustful. And when that arrow comes, instead of leaving that thing in, we take it, we say, God, give me grace and strength. Forgive me for allowing that arrow to last in my skin even a half a second. Forgive me, give me grace. And what the Bible tells us over and over is he gives grace to the humble. So if you humble yourself before the Lord, he'll give you more spiritual strength to overcome that thing so that you don't have to be beat up by whatever it is, lust, anger, resentment, pain, anxiety, whatever it is, depression. You don't have to be beat up by those things. Ask the Lord for grace. Take that arrow out of your skin and throw it down. One of the things that is just so interesting to me as I've been walking with the Lord for a few years is how different the battle is, how different the measure of the attack is on the same battlefields. You know, there were fights that I had in the realm of spiritual warfare in my first few years in Christ, and I'm still fighting some of those same battles, but man, they're just far more intense now. And you may have heard the term new levels, new devils. And the regard on that, the way that that works and processes is as the Lord continues to mature you and use you and promote you in the kingdom and give you more gifts and talents and strength and areas of influence and finance and wealth, as the Lord strengthens and increases your family, as there is increase in your life, new demonic forces come against you to beat the tar out of you. And there are demonic forces that weren't given permission to hit you last year or 5 years ago. There are new ones. But the tactics are really all the same. They just punch harder now. It's the interesting thing is the ways that the enemy attacks are still the same. It's just that fist hits my jaw a little bit harder today than it did 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Just interesting how that works. Well, but at the same time, the Lord has made my jaw a lot stronger from all those little peewee demons that were hitting my jaw along the way. And what the Lord does is he strengthens you so that you have everything you need to be successful every time. The Lord gives you all the grace and all the strength that you need in order to be able to overcome. There's not one single battle you have to lose, not one. The Lord gives you grace. He never gives us more than we can handle. If we could put that verse up on the screen, 1 Corinthians 10:13. You guys are familiar with this, but I want you to feel it. Think about your current struggle. Think about the current spiritual warfare, the current problem, the current, I need this thing to change immediately because I'm going to go crazy if it doesn't change. That thing that's in your life right now. And now let's let the word of God rest on us. No temptation has seized you except that is what is common to man. Here's Paul saying, there is nothing new under the sun. This problem that you're having, there have been a bajillion people who've gone through this same problem. You're not new to this. This is old news. There's no new battles on planet Earth. This is old stuff. And the temptation that you're feeling, it's only what has been common to mankind from even the beginning. But God is faithful. And he will not let you. God will not let you be tempted beyond what you have the ability to bear up under. It is an impossibility. God is a liar if this isn't true. You go, it's so hard. This moment, this season, this circumstance, this problem, it is so difficult. There is no way I can make it through. Yes, you can. 100% of the time, God has given you the power, the grace, the strength, the wisdom, the self-control, the family around you, the spiritual family. He has given you everything you need for you to be successful in that trial. You do not have to bow in that trial. He says, I will not give you more than what you can handle. You will not be tempted beyond what you can bear. And when you are tempted, the Lord will also provide a way out so that you can stand up underneath that temptation. This is seriously good news. For a bunch of us who've been beat up by all kinds of stuff lately, we've been going through all our own personal journeys and battles and stuff that's just not been a ton of fun. The Lord promises you can make it, and his desire is for you to. The Lord's desire and his provision, his purposes and his destiny over your life is that you sustain this battle, that you see it through and that you be okay. And the Lord promises there is a 0% chance ever in human history for any human ever that you will be given more than you can handle. You will not be given more than you can handle, more than you can stand up under. And if you think about it, if you just take a little pause, a little mini pause for a moment, and think about 3 years ago and some super horrible thing you thought you were going to die in. It was so bad. And here you are. because the Lord did not give you more than you could handle. The temptation wasn't so great as to win. We make those decisions along the way. It really comes down to trusting in the Lord, trusting in the Word of God. The Word of God says that there's nothing new under the sun, and He won't give you more than you can handle. And when you are tempted, He will provide a way for you to survive it. He will provide a way for you to overcome, for you to press through. The Bible promises that you have the ability to succeed in every single spiritual fight. It's seriously good news for us who are getting beat up a lot right now. Well, let's do a couple of takeaways for tonight. So tonight, we're going to be talking about the issue of anxiety, worry, the pressures of feeling overwhelmed, all those different things coming together. We're going to be focusing on common attack number two. And as we do, I just want to give us a couple of things that hopefully we'll be able to take away from tonight's teaching. One is that we'd be able to figure out how to navigate and avoid being overwhelmed. Gosh, I hate being overwhelmed. Like, I totally hate it. You know, you've got those seasons where you think you've got a pretty good handle on things, and then there are some times where you just feel like if one more thing goes wrong, or if too much has already gone wrong today, if something doesn't go right in the next 5 minutes, I'm just done. You know, have you ever had one of those seasons? Well, there are some practical ways to navigate and avoid overwhelm. And hopefully tonight, we're going to be able to look at that a little bit. One of the things we're going to do is we're going to identify anxiety as sin. Instead of identifying anxiety as, you know, that mean thing that's happening to me right now, we're going to look at what the Word of God says, and we're going to begin to agree with the Bible that anxiety, worry, and doubt are actually sin issues that we've been in agreement with. I'm not saying the problems aren't real. The problems are super real. But agreement with anxiety, with worry, and with doubt is sin. Next, see how to avoid feeling that overwhelmed. Just some practical ideas. And part of that we'll do with establishing some healthier routines in our lives that will help protect us from some overwhelm stuff. So first thing I want to do is I want to talk about anxiety as a trap. And when I'm saying anxiety, just think about that anxiousness. Just, I can't make it. I'm totally, you know, about to explode. The concept of worry, I'm so worried right now about this situation. I'm fearful that it won't land the way that I need it to. The overwhelm, there's so much going on right now. If I just can't get out from underneath this thing, I'm going to die. All of those things are all really rooted in the same reality points. And it comes down to that we're agreeing with the anxious spirit that is coming against us. Because remember, we don't fight a battle against flesh and blood. We fight a battle against real demonic forces. And there are real demonic forces that are called anxiety. They wear a t-shirt with the big A on their shirt and anxiety next to it. And they come and they attack you. And when they come and they attack you, they are coming to attack you with temptation. Your situation was already good or bad. The situation was already one way or the other. There have been all kinds of people who figured out how to weather terrible, terrible situations with a big fat smile on their face. Why? Their situation was horrible. It was that they refused to give in to anxiety when anxiety came against them. The anxiety was problem number two. Problem number one was your problem. Problem number two was anxiety to make you think about your problem, get overwhelmed by your problem, and totally feel despair. We can't make our problems go all away. We can resist anxiety. And anxiety is a trap. Part of the way that this works, really just the key to overcoming anxiety is where we put our focus. Here's how it works. Your problems are going to be real. I mean, you're going to have good things happen and you're going to have bad things happen. You're alive on the planet. That's how it works. When you have bad things happen, you've got two choices. There might be more, but for the sake of simplicity, you got two. Choice number one is to think about your problem and go, oh my gosh, we've got a serious problem here. My life is over. Problem number two, route number two is to not think about your problem. Instead, ask God, entrust it to Him, and leave it with Him with the results. Well, if I die, I die. If we lose the house, we lose the house. If I'm sick, I'm sick. If they hate me, they hate me. Instead of thinking about the problem and giving the enemy the opportunity to fuel anxious thoughts, feelings, and emotions, It's a refusal to think about the problem. Instead, a demand to submit the problem to God and say, God, this is yours, and I'm glad because it's horrible. So good luck. Have a nice day, God. You have a horrible problem to fix, and it's not mine. Congratulations, Lord. And we entrust our issues and our scenarios with the Lord instead of looking to ourselves as our sufficiency in order to be able to overcome it and fix everything. The situation's the same. I mean, Paul is in prison in the book of Philippians, as he writes. He's in a jail cell. Probably he had shackles on to some degree, if not at least under house arrest. He's in jail. Jail. And he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. He says, I've learned the secret of being content no matter the circumstance. He's writing it from jail. But Paul, your situation was so bad. Why weren't you just giving in to the spirit of anxiety and writing about how anxious you were and how bad you felt and how awful things were? And Paul goes, because that's sin. And that's a really, really unhealthy way to live. It's not that the circumstances are any different. I'm not telling you you can make your circumstances shift by just, you know, thinking happy thoughts. I'm telling you your thoughts are in the power of your hand. You can control what you think about. And if you give yourself over to thinking about anxious thoughts, you will be anxious and it will not feel good for you. If instead you take a stand against those anxious thoughts and you say, I'm not going to think these things. I'm not going to go that road. I'm not going to give the enemy those things. Instead, I'm going to take these anxious thoughts and I'm going to present them to God and I'm going to leave them in the hand of God to fix my problems or to let me die right here in the middle of my problem. Whatever it is to me, I don't care. I'm God's. There is something powerful about the revelation that you're going to live forever. If you're only going to live for 80 years, you better fight for your right to party all 80 years. Because you only got one shot at this thing. If you really are going to die at the end of 80 years and it's really over for you, you had better fight all the days of your life to make every one of those days as epic as possible, because at the end of your 80 years, that's it. It's done. It's over. But that's not true. You're going to live forever. And the truth of the matter is, you really, hear me on this, you really don't want to live one day down here longer than God wants you to. If God wants you to die at 6, 60, or 106, you want to be here for as long as God wants you here. And to try to prolong it beyond that, you don't, not that we could, but you don't even want that. You want to live out your days the way that the Lord has for you. You want to live before him as though this life were really not your own, as though you were really bought at a price, and that the life that you go on living really is Christ. It's really hidden in Christ and no longer your own. You really want to live that way because it's super freeing. So here's what it looks like. Super bad situation. Anxious situation. There are anxious situations. Situations that come against you. Who wants to get hit in the face with a big fist? That is an anxious situation when you see that thing coming. As you see the fist coming, that is an anxious situation, but you have a way that you can respond to it. And the Lord actually gives us the power to control our response instead of allowing that response or that situation to control us. We actually have the power to say, I refuse to be anxious, and I'm going to live my life before God, and if God thinks it's a good idea for that fist to punch me today, so be it. If God is going to allow this situation in my life, that's okay. If God isn't going to fix this thing immediately, if God doesn't want this thing to be this perfect way immediately, that's okay. I trust that I'll see the goodness of God in the land of the living. To trust God with our circumstances and say, I'm not going to try to make my situation different. I'm going to recognize the situation is not what I want, and I'm going to submit it to God. I'm going to go, my life is yours. You can do whatever you want. I'll go wherever you want. I'll say whatever you want. I'll do whatever you want, and you can do to me whatever you want. Super powerful. Because if we live that way, we don't have to be anxious about bad circumstances. We look at it and go, ha, my life is hidden in Christ. This is a pretty awful life you have right now, Christ. Look at it. Those are some problems. What are you going to do about that? Because all I'm going to do is praise you, Jesus. I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to believe that you will see me through this because you told us that you will not give us more than we can handle. And right now, this situation seems totally close to the line of what I can handle. But I'm going to trust you to see me through. I'm going to trust your goodness, and I'm not going to be anxious about the situation. Look at what Jesus says in Luke 21, 34, about this concept of anxiety being a trap. Here's pretty much the gist of it. Anxiety is one of those demonic forces that gets to have a lot of free reign in the earth. Anxiety gets to attack people every day and cause all kinds of problems. Anxiety is just a serious fire starter troublemaker in the earth in this hour. And Jesus says it this way. He says, if you don't learn how to overcome anxiety, if you don't learn how to fight anxiety, the default is you will lose to anxiety because it is a powerful foe. That's kind of worth paying attention to. You know, the idea that if you walk out there not knowing how to fight anxiety, you've already lost. Because anxiety is tricky and powerful and comes against us again and again. Look what he says, Luke 21, 34. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. He says, the anxieties of life are real. They're real. And they will overwhelm you. They will overwhelm you if you're not careful. But there's a way to be careful and then not be overwhelmed by those anxieties. But if you're not careful, your default is be overwhelmed by anxiety. I've just seen that so many times in my life where I didn't even realize that I was actually in a spiritual battle. I just thought my circumstances were rough. And all of a sudden, I'm finding myself anxious, overwhelmed by the anxieties of life. Well, this didn't happen, and this isn't going the way I wanted to, and this person said this, and I can't make this thing change, and I don't like this, and I feel the overwhelm, the anxieties, and then I remember this verse. Jesus said, if you're not careful, this is your default. And I go, oh, wait, what do I do to be careful? Fight it like it's a spiritual battle instead of fighting it like it's bad circumstances. Fight a spiritual battle using spiritual weapons. Fight anxiety, take those thoughts captive and go, well, I can't make my circumstance change, and I don't really like my circumstance, but I can choose to stop thinking about my circumstance. I can take my circumstance captive, those thoughts about this horrible thing, and go, Jesus, I just submit this to you. I don't like this circumstance. I'll just tell you a little helpful thing that I've learned regarding spiritual warfare and just being happy. I'll just give you a key to happy, okay? Think less, pray more. Stop having the conversation in your head. It is so unhelpful. Stop talking to yourself. Stop it. Stop rethinking the situation over, oh, they did this to me. I can't believe it. This thing, if they wouldn't have just done that, I could have, man, if I could have just remembered to do that thing. Stop it! It's so unhelpful. It's so unhealthy for you. What good does that ever do? When has that ever helped you one bit ever? Stop talking to yourself. Instead, talk to God about it. God, there's this situation. I just need you to break in. I need you to do something. Oh, I wish this thing would break in. Stop talking to yourself. God, I need you to break in. Have the conversation, just not with yourself. Have the conversation with God. God, I need you to do this thing. This thing happened. Lord, help me, God, to know how to respond. Give me wisdom. Help me to do this better next time. Whatever. It's great to talk. Just talk to God and not yourself. That's weird anyway. Stop it. You're all laughing, but we all do it. We all do it. And listen, I just want to tell you, it's not helpful. This is like a major way to win spiritual warfare. Stop having the conversation with yourself. Don't dwell on those thoughts. Instead, submit your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will come and guard your hearts and your mind in Christ. There will be peace instead of anxiety. I'll tell you this, as long as you keep thinking about it and going over it in your head and having the conversation, you will be anxious. And as soon as you stop and you present your requests to God, peace will come and rest on you. Well, I'm thinking about it again. Stop. Take the thought captive. In Jesus' name, I'm not going to think about you. Instead, peace of God, come. God, I present this to you again. I present it to you again. Anxiousness is in your hands. And so is peace. And it has everything to do with not your situation. Your situation you can't change. It has everything to do with the focus in the situation. Are you focusing on the problem? Or are you focusing on the one who can fix your problem? If you're focusing on the problem, anxiety wins. Jesus said, be careful or this will happen. It's happening. If you're focusing on the problem, anxiety wins. If you're focusing on the one who can fix your problem, there's hope. Because you're talking about God. He's like way bigger than your problem. But whenever you're thinking about your problem, sometimes your problem is way bigger than you. So think about the biggest on the food chain. Go as high as it goes, God. God can help you work through your issues. He can give you strength. He can give you hope. He can help you overcome stuff. And so anxiety, we just got to take those thoughts captive. Make them obedient to Christ. Next verse, Matthew 6, 25 through 34. I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to give you the gist. You guys know this passage. It's in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus pretty much says this 7 times. Jesus said, worry is sin, quit it. I mean, over and over. You know, we live in a culture where, I just don't know how this happened, but we live in a culture where certain sins that the Bible, like, capitalizes, this is a sin. We live in a culture that is somehow, like, rewritten how big a deal certain things are. And we live in this culture, even in our Christian culture, where the concept of worry is, oh, yeah, me too, I'm worried about some things too. And we pat each other on the back like it's okay, instead of repenting. Worry is sin. Worry is okay 0 times ever for 1 second never. Worry is not okay. Worry is a sin. We wouldn't think that murder was ever okay. Yeah, I know, me too. Murdered 3 guys yesterday. We're laughing, but we're doing it with worry. We're coddling it in one another. I'm really worried about this thing. Well, repent. Repent. I needed you to pat me on the back and tell me it's going to be okay. It will be as soon as you repent. Sin is worry, or worry is sin. We've got to deal with the issue of worry like it's really, like, right there with murder. That we're not okay with it, that we don't encourage it in one another and go, yeah, I know, man, I've got some similar things too. Stop worrying and present your request to God. All right, Elite, I'm going to read it. I tell you, do not worry about your life, about what you'll eat or drink. He says, don't worry about your finances. It will not help you. That's what he's saying, eat or drink. He's not saying, like, you know, where are we going to go to dinner tonight? Applebee's or Chili's? Never go to Applebee's. So bland. Always go to Chili's, okay? He's not talking about that. Like, what? Don't worry about what we're going to eat or drink. He's talking about the financial situation. Don't worry about it or about your body. Well, but I've got sickness. You know, I'm gonna die of this thing. Don't worry about your body or what you will wear. Well, I'm afraid I won't have this or I won't have these things in my life. Can any one of you, by worrying, add 1 single hour to your existence? Well, no. Well, then why are you worrying if it feels bad? Like, I mean, if you go to the gym, there's a chance that might actually add 1 hour to your existence. So if you feel bad walking out of there, okay. But worry? Why would you spend 1 hour worrying? You will not add 1 hour to your life by doing so. In fact, you'll just be miserable for that hour for no reason. He says, you of little faith, do not worry, saying, what will we eat or drink or wear? The pagans. I mean, Jesus, like, jumps at it. He says, the totally lost people that are worshiping demons. That's what they do. Do you want to be like the totally lost demon worshipers? Well, no. Okay, then stop worrying. It's a sin. It's not my little issue. It's a sin to be repented of. I'm worrying. Jesus, I ask you for forgiveness. I have been worrying about this. I've been worrying about this. I've been worrying. I've been filled with worry. And you told me, do not worry, little faith person, person likened to a pagan. God, I want to repent of my worry. I repent right now. God, all the worry this past week. Forgive me. He says, I will forgive you and I will cleanse you and I will fill you with strength to press on for the journey so that you don't have to worry again tomorrow. What shall we wear? What shall we eat? It says, your Father in heaven knows that you need these things. You think God doesn't know what your heart is aching for right now? You think God doesn't know what you need as though, like, he's a quarter blind and he's only able to see 3/4 of your life and he just really missed that spot? God is not blind. He's aware. Your Father knows what you need, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and then these things will be given to you. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry. How many times in this passage, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry? It's sin. We need to take worry as sin instead of that cute little thing that we kind of pat each other on the back and go, yeah, try to get over that. You know, no, it's dangerous. That will cause your heart to go terrible places and far from God. Worry is sin. So all of us worried this week. So nobody's pointing the finger at anybody because all of us worried this week. So instead of all of us worrying next week, let's all of us repent of worry. And when we start to worry again, let's call it sin instead of some other gray category. This is what I'm talking about. Like, how did Christianity come up with things God wants us to do, sin issues, and gray zone? Like, where did gray zone come from? Gray zone is probably its own demon. Taking truths of the scripture, dialing them down, numbing our spirits to them, so that things that the Bible says very clearly, do not worry, have all of a sudden become permissible to us. It's not a gray zone, it's a sin issue. Don't worry. So now this is really, really good. Because a minute ago, if we had a gray zone thought process about worry, we didn't know what to do when worry happened. I'm worrying, what do I do? Well, there's no prescription for gray zone. But now that you know it's a sin, just repent, you're okay. It's really, really simple. This is the kindness of God that would tell us that worry is a sin. Anxiety is never the plan of God. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything. Man, this concept of being anxious, being worried, it is never the plan of God, never for one second ever in your life about any issue. Well, but I don't know what's going to happen, with this financial situation. I don't know what's going to happen in these relationships. I don't know what's going to happen in this leadership thing. Do not be anxious about it. But instead, in every situation, present that very real problem. I'm not saying the problem isn't real. It's real. It's awful. It hurts. You don't like it. I get it. I've got a list of my own. I'm just saying, don't ever be anxious about it. Instead, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving in your heart, present those requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will then guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. Anxiety is a demon. Let's not be friends with him anymore. I'm feeling anxious. I'm so concerned about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Yeah, but I need this thing to happen. I need it to happen. No, you want it to happen. You'll be okay. God won't give you more than you can handle. He will provide for you. He will take care of you. It may not look exactly like you want, but even in that, don't worry. He's got a much better plan for you than you have for you. So many times, I have had this really good plan. I thought it through. I let a few people revise it. Looked some stuff up on the internet just to spruce it up a little bit, put some graphics on there. I had a good plan. And the Lord just looks at this plan and shakes his head and is like, you think you have a better plan than what I have planned from the beginning of creation for you? Well, yeah, God. I mean, you've given me so much wisdom. And the Lord's like, he looks at our plan and he goes, listen, I appreciate that you have got your little thing that you want to do. My plan for you in every area of your life is better. You think it should look this way because you think you'll be better off if it looks this way. And God says, it's better that it doesn't look that way. It's better that it looks this way. It's better because I'm perfect and I have perfect wisdom. The Lord has perfect wisdom. His desire for us is that we would submit to his plan and not be anxious when it doesn't go our way. There's good news. He hears the cry of the needy. Before, I can remember, reading through the Bible the first couple of times when I was first saved in 99. I was reading through the Bible and I was reading about all these needy, every time it'd say needy. And it's like I came up with another demographic of culture. What I was picturing every time I'd read those Bible verses is like this person that's got like problems with their face and they're just like all hunched over and they're totally poor and they stink and they don't have anything good going for them and nobody likes to be their friend and they've been living in a van down by the river and they've got all these different problems and they got all these issues in their life. And it's like it was a whole subcategory of people that I just imagined you've got people that have got it good in life, people that have got it pretty good, people, and then you go all the way down, and then there's this needy group. And man, just rough to be needy. But I guess God responds to the needy because that's what the Bible says a number of times. That's really a very inaccurate picture of needy. Let me tell you who needy is. You, tomorrow, or today, or both. Needy is about circumstances, not about like the caste system of what part you are in the system of life. It's not that you have found yourself on the bottom end of the totem pole. Well, I live in the hood, so therefore I am needy. Listen, you can live in the hood and never be needy a day in your life. And you can live at the top in the big duplex apartment in the sky high, and you can have serious problems your whole way through. The Lord has, this issue of needy has nothing to do with your life circumstances as a standard, and has everything to do with your temporal circumstances. One of you is in need right now of grace and strength so that you can get through this week. Another one of you is needy right now for a financial miracle. Another one of you needy right now to be able to relate to your spouse. Another of you is needy right now to believe for something that the Lord's been telling you. The issue of need has everything to do with, do you feel needy? Then you are. And you're actually who the Lord is speaking to. The needy is every single person on planet Earth at some point or another, again and again and again and again. The Lord's desire is the needy one would cry out to him. That's the issue. The needy is not some person in some other country who doesn't have it as good. The needy is when you are in your moment of need, you are the one the Bible is talking about. I need this. My heart aches. My circumstances are this. I don't know how to overcome this. I don't know how to relate to this person. I'm in need. Congratulations, you are what the Bible cries out, calls as needy. And Psalm 18:6 says this. Psalm 18:6. In my distress, in my need, in my moment of need, in my moment of me being the needy person, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God, to my God. I cried out to the personal God who hears me. I cried out to my God for help. And from his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. When you are in need, whatever it is that is causing that anxiousness, that worry, whatever it is that is causing you to feel overwhelmed, cry out to God. Cry out to your God, the one who hears you, the God of heaven and earth. He's listening from his temple, and when you cry out, the cry comes up before him and enters into his ears. You can guarantee if you cry out, he hears you. He hears the cry of the needy. Psalm 6 says it this way. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am faint. My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord? How long? Turn, Lord, deliver me, save me. Because of your unfailing love, all night long I flood my bed with weeping and I drench my couch with tears. The Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. Psalmist here says, I cried out in deep anguish. I talked about how bad my situation was. I have deep pain in my heart. I flooded my bed. I was crying a ton. But I was doing it to God and not to my own self. God heard me. I directed my cry to God. I had tears about the situation. It was awful. But I directed those tears at the living God instead of at the wall in my bedroom as I cried. I cried. I cried big time. I went through anguish. I cried out, God, how long does this have to go on? How long? How long? But I didn't ask myself. I didn't look to people to fix my problem. I cried out to God, and God heard my cry. God hears the cry of the needy every time. Don't find yourself in need having a conversation with yourself. You will fix nothing. Go ahead and cry. But cry out to God. And it says, the Lord heard my cry for mercy. Mercy, God, mercy, mercy. You go ahead and have that conversation. You go ahead and say it out loud. Sing it out loud. Cry it out loud to God. And stop rehearsing it in your head. Cry out to the only one who can fix your problem and cry out. And you know what? It's a little bit discouraging here because Psalmist is doing it right. And he says, how long? How long? meaning this wasn't night one he was crying out for this thing. It probably wasn't night three either. How long? How many years do I have to cry out for this thing to be fixed? Keep crying out to God. Keep directing it to God. The Lord hears the cry for mercy, and he responds, but he responds in his timing. This issue of being anxious about things, it comes down to us trying to make things happen outside the timing of God. I got five things in my life right now that I am embarrassed to tell you. If I had the power to fix them, knowing that it wasn't God's timing, I would probably try. And I'm working through those issues because I know that's not right. I know it's not right. The kindness of the Lord is he handcuffs me so that I don't have a clue or a promise or a hope or a prayer to fix those things outside of his timing. It's his kindness to actually keep me in his timing and his plan and his purposes. The Lord will do the thing when it's time. And until then, it's not time. And don't be anxious about it. Just continue to cry out to him for mercy. And he says that he hears the cry for mercy. Well, I want to talk about how to avoid a meltdown. Because this is all good. This is how we fight the normal fights of life. This is how we overcome the issues and the difficulties. But I want to talk about more than just overcoming the issue of anxiety. I want to talk about how you overcome when you feel totally burnt out, totally on the edge of a meltdown, like you're going to have a mental break, where you're at your tipping point. What do you do? What are some practical things? We just covered all the spiritual warfare side, and those spiritual warfare points work. But there's some practical things that we can do as well that will help us to navigate the different difficulties that come and the different seasons. Remember that the Lord will never give us more than we can handle. Super important point. But that doesn't mean you won't face situations that are more than you can handle. Huh? I thought you said the Lord won't ever give you more. The Lord won't. But we have this tendency to pick up stuff the Lord didn't give us. The Lord won't give us more than we can handle. So let's say you got 10 things on your plate. 5 of them are from God. 5 of them are stuff you picked up. And you're trying to figure out how to balance all 10. God gave you 5 of them. The other 5 were your choice. God won't give you more than you can handle. But the problem is, you picked up some stuff too. So now you've got 10 things you're trying to handle, and God's like, yeah, the answer here actually is you need to get rid of some of that stuff. You've got too much on your plate, and the reason you feel totally overwhelmed sometimes is because the Lord gave you what the Lord wanted you to have, and then you gave yourself some other stuff you wanted you to have. And the Lord said, I'm not going to provide for that stuff. I'm not going to provide the mental grace for both the 5 things I gave you and the 5 things you picked up. Sometimes we're feeling totally overwhelmed, and it has nothing to do with spiritual warfare. It has to do with a lack of wisdom. Sometimes we're feeling overwhelmed because we're doing the things God told us to do. Do this, be here, do that, don't do that. We're doing those things, but then we're also doing this, 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 and this. And the Lord's not in any of it. Or he might be. You got to work that out. I just know there have been times in my life where I found myself carrying all the things the Lord wanted me to carry and some other baggage as well. And at the end of the week, I go, why am I so overwhelmed? And it really comes down to me laying down some things that weren't things the Lord told me to pick up. I mean, that's a super simple way to handle overwhelm. I mean, that's not a spiritual warfare issue. A lot of times it comes down to, I want, I want, I want. And our wants have caused us to overextend ourselves into areas that really weren't what the Lord wanted in this season. I'm not talking about sinful stuff. I'm talking about things you do with your money. Like, I gotta have this. And the Lord's like, well, I will provide for this. But if you want this and that, you're gonna have to provide for that all by yourself because I'm not in that. And then you're overwhelmed at the end of the week because you had to work overtime in order to be able to provide for the stuff God wanted you to have and the extra stuff that maybe wasn't what he wanted. Sometimes it's too much busyness. You've got too many things going on. The Lord really wants you to invest your life into these relationships, into these things, into this stuff. And you've overextended yourself and you've taken on some different things that were awesome. They weren't sinful. They were people that you like. They were activities that were fun. They were things, they were good stuff. And the Lord's just looking at you going, you're carrying more than you can handle. But I didn't give you all those things that are in your hand right now. And you need to learn how to balance out some of those things that are in your hand. Part of this is developing healthy routines. You know, I live a pretty busy life. And I didn't do it quite as well a few years ago. I do a lot better now of managing being a dad and a husband, being a minister and being the director of the prayer room and, you know, having a small group and managing this and managing that. There's a whole lot of stuff on my plate. And it's about the healthiness of routines. Let me give you a little for instance. If it's something you say you care about, if it's something that you know the Lord has put into your hand, you better have time in your schedule appropriated to that thing, or it's not important to you. What happens sometimes is we feel overwhelmed because we weren't giving enough attention to something and it broke. And when it broke, it takes lots of energy to fix the broken thing, but you don't have lots of energy because you've already dispersed that energy over a bunch of different stuff. But if we have a healthy routine of pouring in energy into the areas that the Lord has called us in a healthy routine, things flow and run better for years and years and years without any major hiccups. Part of the issue of routines is your time. Part of the issue of routines is your prayer life. Part of the issue of routines is the activities that you do. Part of the issue of routines is stuff that you think about and that you strategize and that you work towards. It's the reason why it's so helpful when we work in a work environment that gives us a schedule, and when that schedule is more or less similar or the same every week. That's very, very helpful. It helps us to develop routines. It's the reason we meet at the same place, the same time, every single week. It's here. Why? It's a routine. It would be a bit difficult to gather us all together if it was game time, and every Sunday night it was like, well, sometimes we meet at 4, sometimes we meet at 7, sometimes we meet here, sometimes we meet in a little canoe in the middle of the lake. You just got to figure it out. It's very difficult to develop routines when you don't have some things established in your life. And I just want to tell you, healthy routines will help you deal with a significant measure of your overwhelm. The feeling of, I can't handle it, there's too much going on. A lot of that has to do with time management and you figuring out how much time to allocate to each thing in your life. Those things are very, very helpful in helping you to overcome things. Couple more points and we'll finish out tonight. I don't like this. I just think it's true. You need to figure out where your limits are. You go, what are you talking about, limits? Well, you only have so much mental energy, right? I mean, you don't have double that. However much you have, that's what you got. You're stuck. You've only got so much physical strength. You've only got so much money. You have a limited amount of your resources, time, money, energy, love bucket, whatever it is. Whatever it is that you have to give away, to help with, to strengthen others with, you only have a limited amount. You need to figure out where those limitations are. Let me tell you a couple reasons you want to figure that out. There's two approaches here that are both different sides of the pendulum that we need to figure out a balance on. One is you're lazy. You've got extra all the time in the areas that you could be building the kingdom, building other people, seeing things move forward for the kingdom. You got lots of extra and you never give it. You never sow it. I'm not talking just money. I'm talking time, energy, gifts of the Holy Spirit, friendships, all kinds of stuff. You've got all kinds of stuff, and you're lazy, and you're not sowing it into the kingdom, and you're hoarding it. And at the end of our life, we're going to stand before the Lord, and the Lord's going to say, what did you do with the money I gave you? What did you do with the friendships that I gave you? What did you do with the time I gave you? Well, I was a couch potato. I knew every single sitcom. I could tell you all the actors' names and where they're living in New York City. And the Lord's going to look at you and go, you used all of your time to be a couch potato? We're not going to get a well-done, good, and faithful servant for that one. The Lord's going to ask us what we did with our resources, our time, our money, our energy, our love, or this or that. And we're going to have to give an account, the Bible says. I do not want to stand before the Father and go, well, I always had so much extra of all this stuff and I never did anything with it. I just hoarded it. I was just lazy. That is a really, really bad way to stand before the Lord on that day. Saved. The Lord's going to say, safe. You're in the kingdom. But you lived silly. And there's a lot of rewards I wanted to give you that I am not going to give you because you hoarded what I gave you. I don't want to show up that way. Here's the other way. Always press yourself too far. Always push past your limits and be totally burnt out and give up and be in probably heinous sin because you just kept pushing yourself, kept pushing yourself, kept pushing yourself beyond what your limits were. That's an unhealthy way to live as well. But here's the truth of the matter. I think in order to be able to find a healthy balance, you have to put your foot in both pools. You've got to figure out what's too lazy. Well, I don't like the way that felt. I don't want to do that. I don't want to live there anymore. You got to figure out what's too much. I was doing this, forgotten. I was doing this, and I was doing this, and I was doing this. How long that last? About 6 weeks. Well, what happened at the end of 6 weeks? I had a mental breakdown, and I was of no use to anybody for another 2 months. Okay, probably not healthy. But how did they figure out where their limits were? They pushed them. I think we need to figure out where our limits are. We need to identify where those limits are, and then we need to live closer to the all-in. We need to live all-in. But at the same time, we got to figure out a way to live all-in in a way that's sustainable long-term, that doesn't burn you out after 6 weeks of going hard after it. There is a way to pursue God where we figure out our limitations. We figure out how many hours a week, can I spend doing this? How many hours a week do I spend doing this? Investing in relationships. How many hours a week do I do this? How many hours of this? How much of my money do I sow here? How much do I do here? How much do I here? Figure out the wisdom of your limitations. Figure out where they are and then live close to that line. Live with just a little bit of wiggle room because you never know when you're going to have a bad week. And a bad week could send you over the limit. Live close to it. And I think the only way to figure that out is see what your limits are. And I don't know how else to do it. If there's a wiser way to do it, I want to read the book. My experience and that which I've seen in ministry for a decade plus is watching the immature believer grow up in the things of God and figure out where their limitations are and go, well, man, I just know God wants more from me than this. I'm not okay with how I lived this last season. I just really wasn't serving the Lord that much. I really wasn't spending that much time with him. I really wasn't loving him the way that I could. And I want the burn of that. I want the sting of that in my heart so I don't live that way anymore. And then pressing the other way, man, I was giving everything I could. I just realized I can't keep that pace long term. If I run 100 miles an hour every single day, I melt down. I can't do it long term. But I figured out I can run 82 miles an hour forever. Good. Run at 82 then. And don't run at that 100, except in those short little seasons. And when you take that short burst up into the 100 mark, you probably need to camp out back around 60 for a little bit too, so you can find some balance. We are created in the most incredible image of God, but we also have limitations. We got to learn what those limitations are and figure out how to navigate them so that we wind up in some healthy routines. Sometimes you just need a break. I've noticed in my life sometimes I'll be running so much pursuit, so aggressively after the Lord, that I need a day off. And if I don't take that day off, it ain't going to be good for anybody. Take the day off. Don't take a year off, but take the day off. Take the weekend. Go on vacation. Come back a little bit better off. Are you totally stressed? Are you totally about to freak out? Please don't do that. Take a break. Take a breather. God rested on that seventh day for a reason. Take a breather. Take that break, come back stronger, get back in the hunt. Sometimes a break is exactly what you need. Sometimes what we need is we need a good swift kick in the butt because we've been on break for 7 years. We ain't done squat. We're not pursuing the Lord much. We're just kind of existing as a saved person on the planet, whatever that is. The Lord desires that we would seek him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the only way to do that is to be intentional about it. Listen, I'll leave with this. The issue of anxiety, I believe, comes down to two different things. It comes down to a mismanagement of the things that the Lord has given us. It's a mismanagement of those resources. We're taking on too many things, and it wasn't the intention of the Lord that we do that. And the second thing is, there are really demons that I'm just going to name anxiety because I don't know exactly how that works in the whole spiritual warfare system. If they have first and last names, I don't know. But there are demons of anxiety that come against you that you can stand against by putting on the full armor of God, by applying the truth, and by taking those thoughts captive and say, I am not going to be anxious in Jesus' name. I'm not going to give in to that thing. Have everybody stand. I want to pray for you.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.